Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and happy almost 4th of July day for those of you in the United States who are tuning in this week. Thanks so much for tuning in today's show. And before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search. Markham Search LLC offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and recently launched their payrolling service. So what that means is if you have an employee who you used to 1099, but because of recent changes in that law, you prefer to have a temporary agency payroll that person for you, that is a service that Markham Search can offer. So thanks so much to our sponsors over at Markham Search. And today we have with us on the show, Jay Srinivasan, who is the co-founder and CEO of Spoke, which was built from the ground up to power the on-demand workplace and deliver immediate access to knowledge and support. Spoke's AI help desk answers repetitive employee questions about payroll, benefits, policies, and IT issues, freeing up internal support systems and teams such as IT and HR and operations to focus on more important work. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jay.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell me, Jay, tell me a little bit about your background. If I'm not mistaken, I think you don't just run a company, but you actually got a PhD as well, right?
Yeah, so not to date myself, but many years ago, I did a PhD in computer science. So I, for the longest time, I thought I was going to be a professor like my father. And so all I knew to do was to study. And so I went and did a bachelor's and a master's, and I did a PhD in computer science. But by the end of it, I realized I was actually more interested in the business world than research. So I, after my PhD, I was a management consultant for several years. And then I realized it was a lot more fun to actually build something than to consult on it. And so in 2011, I moved from New York to San Francisco. And since then, I've basically been building companies or selling them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's no small feat. From what I understand, you were the co-founder and CEO of Appurify, which was acquired by Google, correct?
Yeah, so we started Appurify in 2012, and my co-founders and I, we essentially built a platform that helped mobile developers test their apps. When you're building a mobile app, you want to make sure it works on all the different iOS and Android devices out there, and so we basically built tools to help you with that. It so happens that Google was working on the same problem, and so in 2014, they acquired my previous startup, Appurify, and so 30 of us joined Google. And it was great. But while we were at Google, my co-founders and I sort of got the itch to start something again. So we spent 2 years at Google, and then in 2016, decided to start something again, and we started Spoke.
Very cool. Now tell me, how did this idea for Spoke come to fruition? How did somebody, let's take a step back actually for a moment. How do you even begin to think about building a company? What are the steps that go into building a company, let alone selling one?
Oh, it's a great question. So I'd say the sort of first step in building a company is actually having an idea that is worth building. And, you know, it's a sort of common myth that the hardest part of starting a company is actually coming up with a good idea. I actually think it's one of the easier things, not because I am particularly inventive, but because there's actually so many resources out there that you can use to think about what major pain points there are to go solve. So for example, to give you a few examples, one of the best ways to think about starting a company is to go solve a problem that you face at your work or in your personal life. Or you can look at what other people have been building recently. For example, if you were to build a software company, you could go to the website of companies like IBM and Oracle to see all the different tools that they've made to see where there's opportunity to build. So, step one, come up with an idea that you think makes sense. Step two is actually don't just jump into building it, but instead actually pressure test it. go interview people that may buy the tool that you're thinking of building or may buy the service that is behind the company that you're starting to do. So like, I would strongly encourage folks when they're thinking of starting a company to spend a good amount of time pressure testing it, because you're going to find that an idea sounds good, but once you actually go talk to 30 people and when even for Spoke, Spoke is probably our third or fourth idea. Like an idea seems great. You fall in love with it and you think about it day and night. But when you start going and talking to folks, you're like, wait a minute, it actually doesn't, maybe there's not that much there. So number one, come up with a good idea. And there are a bunch of resources to do that. Number two, talk to as many people as you can. And don't feel protective about ideas. Ideas are easy, building them are harder. So like, go talk to as many folks as you can to pressure test it. Then if pressure testing works and it's still an idea there, the next thing is to think about who you want to start the company with. I've been fortunate that my previous startup at Purify, as well as Spoke, I'm working with folks that I've worked with in the past. And startups are sort of any, not just technical startups, but sort of any business is stressful at times. And so you want to be building it with folks that you're comfortable with. And so my co-founders, Prithush and Dave, we've been working together now for like 7 years, and I know I can trust them. They trust me. So find the folks that you want to go build this company with. And again, like a small sort of caveat, when you think about who you want to build a company with, we often fall into this trap of finding people that are just like us. And that's actually not what you want when you're building a company, because you want complementary skill sets. You want people that are much better than you at things that you're not good at. And so again, in my case, Prithush and Dave are excellent at the things that I'm horrible at. They're much more creative than I am. They're more technical than I am. They can code better than I can and stuff like that. So then you find the, so step three, find the folks that you want to build this with. And then there are like various paths. In my case, we've been fortunate in sort of building a network and sort of relationships with investors in Silicon Valley. And so in our case, we then went and raised some funding. Then you got to go recruit the best team behind you and then you start. But that's sort of like a very high level sort of four-step approach that I take.
I love that. I'm so happy you shared that, because we've had a lot of entrepreneurs on the show and it just seems insurmountable. I saw a friend for cocktails on Friday night and she just said, oh my God, Jen, you know, I have this amazing idea. And she happened to reach out to a pretty high profile person who said, great, send me your idea. And I think one of the other things, correct me if I'm wrong, is you do kind of want to have an NDA in place with anybody you're sharing this idea with, so somebody else doesn't take it off and run with it, right?
Well, I think it absolutely depends.
Or a friend on, DA. It depends.
Or a friend DA, right? And I think it depends on the scenario. Like if you've come up with a cure for something that has not been patented yet, yes, and it's like easy to replicate, by all means do it. On the other hand, like the space that Spoke is in, we're building a ticketing system, right? Like if you have an IT question or an HR question, you create a ticket and we're building a ticketing system. It is so hard and complex to actually build a system that in a lot of situations, an NDA doesn't do anything. You can have my idea of building a better ticketing system. It's actually how you go do it. So NDAs absolutely matter, but it also depends on the scenario. A lot of traditional venture capitalists, for example, actually won't sign an NDA because they feel that it restricts the conversation that you'd have.
Wow, that's fascinating. I've actually never heard that before. I'm going to have to call my friend back and tell her scratch that idea of the NDA because
it depends on where she's going for the funding.
That's true. That's a very, very good point. So tell me a little bit about Spoke. So you built it from the ground up. It was after you had sold your first company to Google. Where did the idea for Spoke come from?
Yeah, so Google, I like to think of Google as both was essentially as the muse for Spoke. And the reason for that is 30 of us at my previous startup at Purify, we started at Google. And on day one, just like most people, when they start a new job, we weren't quite sure where to go for things. Who do we talk to about our benefits information? We had some colleagues that needed immigration papers. So who do you go talk to for that? Even things like, where do we park our car? Which office should we be going to for X, Y, and Z? So there's this very common scenario that most people find themselves in, which is, early on, especially within an organization, you don't know where knowledge is in the company. You don't know who to go to. You don't know where to go for services. And we sort of felt that pain even at Google, the world's greatest search company, we felt that pain. We couldn't find the answers that we were looking for when we started. So that's sort of where the idea for Spoke started marinating. The other side of Google, though, was sort of the inspiration part was Google has this very large internal team that builds tools to solve specific problems within the company. So, for example, they have this Android app where anywhere you are on campus, if there's a maintenance issue, you can literally take a picture with your phone. And what happens is it will create a ticket with the facilities team and mark your location. And all you need to do is take a picture, and then now there's a ticket, someone's going to go solve it. So it's this beautifully elegant solution that Google built to essentially crowdsource all the different maintenance issues across their company. So we knew there was a problem in finding information and knowledge within companies, but we also got inspired about building simple tools to solve that. And that's sort of how we started thinking about Spoke.
I love that. That's great. So tell me, you know, there was this idea that, and I know what it's like, we just had somebody, a new person start today, and of course the password was missing or this was missing, and you lose a half hour or an hour of downtime, and then things seem topsy-turvy. And it also can hurt the culture of the company because God forbid you don't have answers in a quick, timely matter. We're in an immediate gratification society where we expect to have an answer yesterday, not 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or God forbid, 30 minutes down the road. So tell me a little bit about what it is you're doing and how the response times are working and how this is helping to solve that problem.
Yeah, no, I love that that phrase, immediate gratification, because I think that is the sort of environment that we're in these days. So we, outside of Spoke, the way I like to think about it is, I think we're in something called the on-demand workplace. And like taking a step back, 5 years ago, if you needed a taxi in most cities, what you did was you went outside and stood in front of the street and you hailed a taxi or you called a taxi cab number. Now you use Uber or Lyft. Whenever you need it, you get a ride immediately. 5 years ago, you might have gone to the mall. Now I'm going to go to Amazon and order my pants or whatever I wanted to buy. I might have called a restaurant and, you know, like I had a takeout menu in my drawer. I pulled it up, called the restaurant and made an order. Now there are like 10 apps that I can use to immediately order food. And the common characteristics of all these things is the on-demand economy where people get immediate, convenient, personalized access to stuff. And the crazy thing is that expectation of immediate gratification has now come to the workplace. So I get a taxi immediately. I'm now used to it. So when I go to work and I have an IT issue or an HR issue, it's the exact same thing. Why in the world aren't you responding to me immediately? I want to know how to update my 401k or my laptop isn't working. And so there's this expectation that's come to the workplace. And it's really, if you think about the support functions, folks that care about nothing more than enabling their colleagues to do the best work possible, these folks are working really hard, except now there's this increased expectation of immediacy. And so that's the problem that we're fundamentally trying to solve with Spoke. It's okay. It's one thing to file a ticket and wait for IT or HR to respond to me. But how do you do that when one expects an immediate response? Well, the way we do that, for example, is to use machine learning. Like we did a survey recently. 30% of all questions within a company that are sent to IT or HR are repetitive. So 3 out of 10 questions that your IT colleagues or your HR colleagues get are the same ones over and over again. And by the way, 15% of those requests are word for word the same request. So the first thing to do is to say, look, how do you automate these repetitive requests? And so Spoke learns the answers to these common questions and automatically handles them for you. So when someone asks for the Wi-Fi password, you don't need to respond, Spoke handles it for you. So we essentially try to apply techniques like that to basically say, look, your colleagues expect immediate gratification. Here's how we're going to help you do that. Well, through things like machine learning.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a moment based on a conversation I was having earlier, if you're game for it. Oops, Jay, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you on a question that comes up often, not only on the show, but in business day to day. How would you respond to that? That people are going to say, well, great, the HR person or the IT person who would respond 3 out of 10 times the exact same way. What if now that person's job is in jeopardy and now they're afraid? I was reading an article recently about how many jobs are going to be eliminated or taken over by AI or robotics in the next 5 years. Do you get a lot of people who have that concern? And is it a legitimate concern?
So first of all, I think it's a legitimate question. And I, as an entrepreneur that has a company with machine learning, I want to make sure that I acknowledge the question. I recognize that there is this fear of jobs potentially being replaced by techniques like machine learning or AI. Now, with that said, in the context of the work that Spoke does, we tend to assist desktop workers, folks that basically are in an office where they're supporting their colleagues. And in the vast majority of time, the 30% of repetitive requests. So if you take your typical HR manager or typical IT manager in, let's say, a mid-sized company in the US, answering questions is just one part of their job. If you take the HR manager, they need to obviously respond to your benefits questions. They need to help you with payroll. They need to onboard you, but they're also responsible for culture. They're also responsible for example, immigration. They're also responsible for any issues that you might have with your manager. And so by and large, the type of folks that Spoke serves, the request part of their job is just one part of it. And so what we're actually doing is to say, look, instead of going home at 8 o'clock, because from 6 to 8, you've been finally got a chance to get back to your desk and respond to these questions that have been piling up in your inbox, we'll let you get home at 6:30 because we handle some of the repetitive stuff. So I think the sort of replacement of jobs is less relevant for most workplace AI tools because the workplace AI tools tend to focus on automating small portions of someone's larger job. And the sort of cliched analogy for any sci-fi fans out there, the way I think about it is, if you're a fan of like the Marvel Universe, I think about AI in the workplace kind of like Iron Man, where there's still a person inside the suit, but the suit gives them superpowers. So it's not replacing the person, it's just making them more efficient. It's helping them automate some of the things that they do. So it's more Iron Man than, let's say, something like Terminator.
That is such a great analogy. And it's funny that you say it that way, Jay. I really like your analogy because I think that there are so many people, and particularly at manager or higher level jobs, if I think of the HR managers, the IT managers, the people who are in those roles that I know, oftentimes those are people who are in an exempt role, which means that they're not paid overtime after 8 hours and they wind up working 12-hour days, 5-6 days a week often. And so I like this idea that, you know, companies are being expected to do more for less, you know, whether we're talking about law firms or people who are producing widgets of this or that, there's just a higher expectation to produce more for less money or to have one person take on more responsibilities. So to your point, I think AI can actually be a benefit rather than a deterrent for the people who are working at these large companies because they're going to get more time back and a better work-life balance, which is critical right now in today's market.
That's spot on. It's, think about AI as something that gives you time, AI in the workplace specifically, as something that gives you time back to work on the things that matter. The less time you spend responding to the same HR questions or the same IT questions is time that you can spend on things like culture or improving your office's IT infrastructure.
While we're on the subject of AI, what are your thoughts of AI in the workplace in general? I understand for what Spoke is doing specifically that there's obviously a lot of benefits to something that Spoke is doing. Like we just said, you're giving people their time back that's being, you know, not taken away, but that they don't have access to. You're adding time back into their life. What do you think AI is going to do for business in the next 5 years and what you're seeing having worked at Google and what your company is doing?
Yeah, so I'd say there's this sort of mixed bag of AI as at this point is such a overused term. And it's almost like the marketing got ahead of what AI can actually do. And so like, for example, going back to Silicon Valley, if you go to a venture capitalist and say AI, you can almost see your eyes rolling. It's just at this point, you have to use AI in your pitch. And so the short of it is this. There is an incredible amount of funding and research and sort of development that's going into bringing AI to the workplace. Technology capabilities are also catching up. So 5 years ago or 10 years ago, this is not the case. Now there is indeed, like for example, companies like Spoke, there is a lot of actual quality AI research and work going on. So there's no question that in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20, 30, 40 years, AI is going to significantly change how we think about the workplace and how work is done. That said, what I would also caution is to look for places where AI actually makes sense. So look for things that are repetitive. Look for things that impact a large group of people. And those are the places where you're actually going to find AI really fixing things. So for example, take something like calendaring. The amount of time people take just going back and forth on email, scheduling a meeting. So if I'm a salesperson, for example, I have to go back and forth with my, let's say a prospect to schedule a meeting with them. That's actually a great use for AI, where their calendar is available to this technology. My calendar is available. We know we want to meet. Is that something that I really need to go back and forth with this person? Probably not. So look for those types of like repetitive tasks that impact a lot of people. On the other hand, selling better. No, that's probably not going to be a great use for AI. AI still needs the sales, still needs in a lot of cases the human touch, the ability for me to make a connection with the person that I'm speaking with and to sell our product. So that part will still require the human. But even then, AI could, for example, help coach the salesperson to do a better job the next time. So it will be sort of, again, going back to Iron Man, think of situations where you have common repetitive tasks that people need assistance with. That's where AI is going to come in. So I expect that to like increase quite a bit over the next several years.
Very cool. Well, tell me a little bit more about what Spoke does in case any of our listeners out there might be able to utilize the program that you're offering.
Yeah, so Spoke is a ticketing system. And what that means is when you're, for example, an IT manager or an HR manager in a company, one of the ways in which you manage your workload is through tickets. The idea is, some tasks might take 10 minutes to do, some tasks might take 5 days. For example, ordering a new laptop takes longer than fixing the Wi-Fi. And so how IT managers, HR managers, operations managers, office managers, how they manage their workload through a ticketing system. You want a queue in which all of the requests are tracked so that nothing falls through the cracks. So Spoke essentially has built a modern version of that tool, a modern version of a ticketing system that one, is wherever your colleagues are. And what I mean by that is, again, in the modern workplace, sometimes someone's on the road and they want to send a text, and that's how they want to file a ticket. Sometimes they want to send an email. Sometimes they might walk by your desk. Sometimes they might be on something like a chat tool like Slack. And so the first thing Spoke does is allows people to make requests from wherever they are. Second thing Spoke does is the repetition. 30% of the time, you're getting the same question over and over again. Spoke learns those answers and automatically responds to them for you. And then finally, Spoke is also built in such a way that even when a ticket comes into you, you spend far less time on the ticket because we do really nifty things like provide context in the ticket. So if anyone is overwhelmed by their workload and the number of requests that are coming from everywhere, and they're not able to keep track of everything, I would strongly urge you to go check out Spoke.
Very cool. I think it's so impressive. You know, it's no small feat to get a PhD, to build one company, sell it, and then create another one that's at the forefront of AI. So I think you're doing some really great stuff. What would you say, are there any takeaways that you would love our listeners to be able to walk away from today's show with?
I'd say just one or two things. One, adapting to this sort of on-demand workplace is something that I strongly urge people to think about. There is, if you're already a little worried about sort of the increasing demands of your colleagues, in some ways that is going to get worse. And so you should really think about the best way to manage that through tools like Spoke or by figuring out what parts of your job you can automate or provide easier self-service instructions to. So it's basically, this is the reality of, I think, the new workplace. And it's actually a very promising thing. It's in some ways, it's fantastic that you can, you're providing essentially better service to your colleagues, but at the same time, you need to be very thoughtful about how you actually serve your colleagues in these situations by choice of right tools, et cetera. That's one. The second has nothing to do with Spoke or the on-demand workplace. I think just from my personal experience, I started with a PhD, thought I was going to be a professor, went into consulting, and then finally found my passion, which is tech startups. And so for folks that are still sort of like early in their careers or even later in their careers, keep looking for the thing that drives the most passion for you because it's worth it.
I think that's such a great point. I remember many years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Chase Jarvis, who I had interviewed for my book, and he had said, Jen, you know, I started off, at first I wanted to be a professional soccer player, and he had all these scholarships, and, you know, his parents were super proud of him, but it just wasn't his passion. And then his parents said, you know, gosh, Chase, we really want you to be a doctor. If you're not going to pursue being a doctor, you should really go after, or if you're not going to pursue soccer, we would love for you to become a doctor. And how many of us have that, whether it's our parents, our friends, or everybody who thinks they know what our career should be? And Chase spent another 3 years pursuing medical, his pre-med stuff, and then I believe it was medical school. And then one day he just woke up and he said, what do I really love? And he realized that since he was about 5 or 6 years old, his passion had been photography. So you can imagine his friends, his family, how they all thought he was off his rocker when he left after, you know, having this award-winning soccer career and then, you know, going into medical school for a couple of years. And he just did a 180 and he said, you know, my passion is photography. And he gave it 150% and wound up becoming one of the top commercial photographers in the entire world. And I think it just goes to show you that whether it's creating a startup or, you know, pursuing your dream of photography or whatever your dream might be, if you are willing to put the time, the energy, and the hard work and the dedication behind your passion, you can literally be or do whatever you want.
I think that's incredibly well said. I totally agree.
Well, I admire the fact that you have done it. That is pretty incredible, Jay. And thanks so much for sharing with us. I think this concept about AI is great. And, you know, like to your point, I think it's the first time that I've had somebody on the show who's talked about AI from a positive context and actually helping see where it's not something that people should be afraid of the big bad guy, like you said, of Terminator, to kind of look at it as AI is the superpower that will help you do your job better and to have more time with your family and friends.
That's exactly right. And it is going to get, I think, increasingly prevalent, but also increasingly easier to understand. I think part of it is indeed this, it's this like mystical black box versus there's so much work going on right now. It's just going to be, it's going to be like email. You're going to understand it. It's going to be obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much today, Jay, for sharing all this with us. And thank you so much to our listeners who tuned in today and wishing everybody, of course, a safe and happy 4th of July out there for those of you in the United States tuning in who might be celebrating this week. If you missed any portion of today's show, just as a reminder, you can find it available later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job. We also have a Get Yourself the Job Facebook page, which we share a lot of articles and content and things that don't make it to the show. So you're welcome to follow us there and interact with us there. Or on the latalkradio.com webpage under the Get Yourself the Job page, you can find at the bottom of the page an archive of today's show almost immediately following the show. It's available for download, and as well as all of our prior shows that we've done. So the show is not possible without everybody tuning in out there and with amazing guests like Jay. So thanks so much for everybody today and wishing everybody a safe and happy rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.